Amen. I'm actually glad that Quentin came and shared something really practical with us on how we can actually do something to help the world. Because I want to share something practically with you this morning. So I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to get to the practical thing. I'm going to take you on a journey to a very, very, very practical thing, but I'm going to ask you a question first. It's a serious question. If I was to ask you, personally, what aspect of your Christian walk is the most daunting, is the thing that fills you with the most fear, uncertainty, the thing that makes you anxious, what would you say? What part of your Christian walk makes you feel that way? I don't know the answer for each of you, but they did a survey in the US of 1,600 Christians. And 83% of these Christians who were surveyed said the same thing to them was very hard. Any ideas what that thing is? Getting up in the morning. Thank you, Rian. That's finances. Sharing the gospel. Fear of failure. Evangelism. 83% of Christians said that the hardest thing for them to do in their Christian walk was sharing their faith with others. Evangelism. Only 17% of Christians in this survey said that they were ready and willing to share the gospel, that they felt prepared to share the gospel without hesitation. I don't know about you, but I find those statistics terrifying. 17%. Now, I'm sure of the other 83%, many of them, if they were in a situation where they needed to share the gospel, I'm sure they would have done so in a push, you know, if they'd had to. You know, someone said, tell me about Jesus. I'm sure they would have shared something about Jesus. I hope they would. I hope most of us would. But there is a big difference between being reactive with our faith and proactive. Do you understand what I mean by that? Yeah, so reactive means, okay, you know, if that opportunity opens, and proactive is saying, I want to find an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Now, some of you at this point may be sitting there and ready to quote St. Francis of Assisi, who apparently said, although he probably didn't say, but everyone thinks he said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. And you say, well, that's how I do it. I let my life represent Jesus. I'll only use words if I have to. And in a sense, it's true. I'll give you that. In a sense, it's true. Our lives should reflect Jesus. If our lives don't reflect Jesus, we've got a bigger problem. But is that all it is? What do you think God thinks of that perspective? In Acts 5:20, an angel appears to the apostles and says, go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and everyone will just see how you love Jesus. No. Go, stand in the temple courts, and tell the people all about this new life. You see, that's the heart of the gospel. Our lives do need to reflect our faith. Yes, they do. If they don't, we've got a problem. But our lives alone are not enough. You see, our lives hopefully are going to open doors. People should see there's something different about us. People should see our kindness, our gentleness, our peace, our grace. They should see that. That should open a door. But then when the door is open, we have to tell people why we have a hope, why we have a surety, a certainty. We need to be both willing and ready to share our faith. So my question to us this morning is, what about us? What about you? What about me? Are we afraid to share our faith with those around us, family, friends, colleagues? Guys in school around us, are we afraid to share our faith? Are we thinking that we can silently preach with our lives and doing no more than that? See, this morning I want to encourage you to be the 17%. That's the title for the message. Be the 17. That's what I'm calling us to do. Be the 17. And this morning I'm going to give us one very practical, simple step that we can do to help us in our journey towards spoken evangelism. Because I guarantee that a lot of us here, I'm not going to ask for hands, but I can guarantee that a lot of us here are in the same place. The concept of spoken evangelism is daunting to us. Speaking out our faith. I'll be honest, something that I find hard. So I'm going to give you one step we can all take. I guarantee you can take it. I'm going to come to that. Before I get there, I just need to lay a little groundwork. And then you'll see why this practical step is possible. So the groundwork I'm going to lay, I'm going to look at this survey that was in the US, which I would imagine reflects probably most churches, maybe this church. I want to look at their top three reasons they gave why they could not share the gospel. Okay? So there was a whole number of reasons. I'm just going to look at the top three in reverse order. So I'm going to look at the third most reason they gave, then the second, then the first. Does that make sense? You with me? Okay, I want to talk to those things. I want to answer them. I want to show how they all point to this one practical thing. So let's start with the third largest reason. So the third largest reason that people gave why they were afraid to share the gospel was a lack of learning. 10% of the guys that responded, 10% of people said that they didn't feel they could share their faith because they were not equipped to do so. 1 in 10 said they did not want to find opportunities to share the gospel because if they got that opportunity, they would be afraid that there would be questions they couldn't answer, that they didn't have enough biblical knowledge, and it held them back. I don't know if you feel like that. Do you feel like somehow you might shame the church if you went into a situation and started to witness and someone asked a question that you couldn't answer? Well, the Bible's got something to say about that. In Luke 12, Jesus is talking to his disciples about what they should do when they come up against opposition, when people question the faith. And just understand the context here. Before I get here, understand that he's talking to these guys. These are mostly tradesmen, the apostles, you know, carpenters, fishermen. And he's basically saying, you're going to encounter people that know a lot more about the Bible than you do. Well, the scriptures, the Tanakh, the Jewish Old Testament, right? They knew so much more than these guys. So what did he say? Did he say, okay, so you're going to come up against these guys that know a lot about the Bible, a lot about the scriptures. So what I want you to make sure is equip yourself first. Train yourself first. Equip yourself for any question. Avoid situations you can't. No, he didn't. This is what he said, Luke 12, 11 to 12. When you were brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, basically people that know more than you, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you'll say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Understand something here, just in the timeline. This is before Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, before the Holy Spirit was poured out. They probably didn't really understand what Jesus meant by the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. They didn't know about the Holy Spirit being poured out. That was later. You get to that in Acts. This is in Luke. So why did Jesus say this? He wanted them and us to know there's a principle here. Don't ever worry about what to say. No matter who you're talking to, the Holy Spirit will give you the words. It's never, ever been about how much you know. It's about who Jesus is and the power of his Spirit within you. Now, you might say at this point, oh, well, does that mean I don't need to even read my Bible or anything then? God will just give me the words. No, that's not what I'm saying. The more you know of the Bible, the more you know of Jesus, the more you know of his nature, the more you understand God's love poured out over you, I would say this, the more the Spirit has to work with. I have heard of cases, and you probably have too, where someone has been in a situation and They're totally at their depth. And they've started speaking. And then afterwards, they say, I don't even know what I said. Like, God just took over. I know people that's happened to. And I'm sure you've heard of that too. That can happen. Normally, that's not the way it happens. Normally, what happens is that you're in that situation, and this has happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to many of you, and God will start to just suddenly drop things in your mind, verses, words, and you just start to speak. And he reminds you of things to say. And at the end of it, you say, well, I didn't know I could speak like that. You see, God has something to work with. So I would say, I put it this way. If you get to know God in the secret place, you'll be able to describe him in the public place. So you do need to know God. But don't worry. Don't have fear that you don't have enough knowledge. Because God knows everything and is within you. If you want to be trained in that, to know how to actually just allow God to speak through you, to not have any fear, to be equipped and empowered no matter who you're talking to, there is a brilliant, brilliant way you can be equipped for that. An amazing, practical way you can be equipped for that, which I'm going to come to at the end. Second biggest reason that they gave, these Christians who were surveyed, why they struggled to share their faith. Missing the moment. Missing the moment. 17% of those surveyed said that they didn't share their faith because they'd never found the ideal moment. The circumstances never seemed right. You know, they'd go into a situation and there were the wrong people in the room. You know, someone who you knew would cause trouble, so you didn't want to share with that person because that person would say something. Or the timing. You know, I really wanted to share my faith, but I literally had 3 minutes before the end of break, and I just knew I didn't have time. And they say the opportunity never presented. Classroom or a break room or restaurant, street, whatever it was, it just wasn't the right time. Now, it is true, I'll be honest. It is true that you can insert yourself into a conversation at the wrong time. That is true, okay? You know, if you're in a company meeting and they're talking about your annual financial results and you put your hand up and just say, hi, can I just, and they're sure, what is it? I just want to tell you all about how God healed my parakeet. You know, probably not the right time that they're going to be ready to listen to you because they're trying to hear about the sales figures from Pofadder, you know? Now, it might be that in actual fact, the conversation about how God worked in your life may have massively more eternal significance than those sales figures, but it's just not the right time. So I just want to say, don't hear me what I'm saying, right? But consider this. There are a finite number of moments every person gets to hear about Jesus. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. There will be a time for every person where the Lord can no longer be found. The reality is that when every moment passes, where we sit there wondering whether it was the moment, is a moment that's then gone. Do not let yourself feel condemned by that. And I really mean this. You might be sitting there thinking, I can think back on my life. I know there are times when I had an opportunity to share the gospel with a coworker and I missed it and I wish I had. And there have been times in my life, a couple of really clear times where I'm like, I missed it. Don't feel condemned about it. The Holy Spirit does not condemn. Ultimately, it's not your responsibility to save them. I'm serious. Like, God could use your parakeet to save them if he wanted to. But the thing is this, if you have that conviction, I missed a moment, what it should do is drive us to find the next one. You see, God wants to use us. It's an honor and a privilege that he gets to use us. So don't feel condemned. Feel excited to find another. Pray for them. Pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Colossians 4, 2-6 says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Wise in the act. Wise in the way you act, and let your conversation be full of grace. It's the same thing. Preach the gospel with your life and your words. Don't be silent. And if you really do experience God's urgency, and if you're sitting there thinking, oh, you know what, I do, I need to make the moment. I need to make more of these. You don't have to wait until all the stars align perfectly to make the, to see the moment. You can slip in a testimony of God's grace, God's goodness, in times where you can make that moment. You can make the opportunities. You don't have to wait until just the right people are in the room or until you've got just the right amount of time. You can make the moment, create the moment. And there's an incredible way that you very practically can make the moment to share. And I'm going to talk about it at the end. For now, I'm going to come to the single biggest reason why people said they struggle to share their faith. When these Christians were surveyed, 22% of it, that's over one in five, 22% of Christians said that they struggled to share their faith out of fear. Specifically, the fear of damaging relationships, the fear of how they'd be perceived. They worried that discussions about their faith would end up in a tense moment, or that the questions that were asked, there would become an uncomfortableness in the situation. So it wasn't that they were afraid of not knowing what to say. They were afraid that they would say it and there would be consequences. When they put this survey out, a lot of the responses were things like this. I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid I'll come across as pushy. I'm afraid I'll start an argument. And I'll be honest, it is possible that you could be rejected, that you could start an argument. That's true. But I'll tell you something else. You could start an argument when you said that your ringneck parakeet was prettier than a plumneck parakeet. Like, people are going to argue about everything. People are going to feel offended about whatever they want to feel offended about. The Bible gives us a beautiful key to reducing the amount of offense that we cause and enabling those conversations to happen. As we read earlier, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. If your conversation is full of grace, it will be hard for people to argue with you. I'm not saying they won't. It just makes it hard because you're just showing love. And if they do get offended, well, if you read the Bible, the apostles and Jesus, people took offense to them all the time. So you're in good company. That's not such a bad thing. In Acts, we hear about, we've got the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. The apostles come up before them. They speak to them because they're preaching the gospel. The Sanhedrin says, don't do that. They say, we've got to do that. So the Sanhedrin, not knowing what to do, they flog them. And then this is their response. So this is Acts 5, 41, 42, after they've been flogged. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. I doubt you're going to be physically flogged. Maybe verbally flogged. Your response should be just the same. Thank you, Jesus, that you counted us worthy to be shamed for you, to be rejected for you. Even that our family might reject us. That can happen. That can happen because of our love for Jesus. And our response would just be carry on telling them. Carry on just talking about the name above every other names. When it comes to families, I know that's often one of the hardest places to do this. And I need to speak frankly about this. I've got a family where I don't know where everyone in my family stands, or Renee's family. So ask yourself this question. Is your family unity with your brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, mum, dad, is your family unity so important to you that you'll hide your faith from them? Is your silence a worthwhile price to pay for having no awkwardness over the Christmas dinner table? Because at the end of the days, when you look back on your life, will you be thankful that you successfully kept quiet about your faith and had unity in your family? Or will you wish that you'd shared your faith when you had opportunity? Does that sound harsh? It was amazing. It's amazing when we actually get the opportunity to share our faith. And God will give us the opportunities to do that. We need to always speak with love and grace and gentleness to our family. If we offend people because we're offensive, I don't believe that's to our credit. But if we speak with love and grace because we're passionate to share the love of God with those that we hold dear, it's for Jesus to carry that, not for us. Always with grace. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that the gospel is best shared over a conversation and not a megaphone. Renee and I, when we first met, we walked through Leicester Square the one time, so 25 years ago. As we walked across Leicester Square, this guy ran up behind us with a little handheld amplifier and a megaphone and started screaming at us that we were going to hell and how we needed Jesus. And we were walking along, and literally he was behind us. You're sinners! You're going to burn! And like, we were like, okay. Did I feel loved? Did I feel the grace of God flowing over me? I felt attacked. That's what I felt. I'm not sure it helped much. Listen, I respect that man's confidence and faith. But I don't feel that's necessarily what God calls you and me to. See, I think the good news is this. I think there is an amazing way that we can train ourselves to share our faith in conversation. How we can train ourselves to speak of our journey, our testimony, God's goodness with confidence. We can learn to speak with grace, with sensitivity, with humor to our friends, our colleagues, our family. And I'm going to tell you what that is now at the end. So I'm going to come to a challenge. This is where it gets practical. Are you with me so far? You've heard me. So the three main reasons why we struggle with evangelism: lack of learning, missing in the moment, fear of failure. And hopefully you've seen and I've shown you from the Bible that none of those things should actually stop us. None of them should stop us. But the Bible, I believe, also talks to us practically how we can be prepared, how we can be as ready as we can be. I've said that we should pray, that we should find God in the secret place, and we should. We should read the word, be empowered and equipped, having the scripture always to our hand and on our lips. We should. There's something practical that I've been teasing you about, and here it comes. Here is the secret this morning to your journey of spoken evangelism. Are you ready? If the gospel often starts with conversation, how about we make space for conversation? How do we do that? Make space for a conversation. How about it starts in our home? What about over a meal? Building relationship with people. If you want to build a bridge you can walk over, it can start with a conversation. If you're worried about that person you're trying to talk to at work, you never find the time, there's never the right people in the room, fine, take them out of that situation, bring them into your home. If you need backup, take a friend from church with you. Connect with them, build with them. Make the moments and the opportunities. Don't just wait for them to drop into place, make them yourself. I do not think it's an accident that the New Testament talks so much about meals. I'm serious. The New Testament is full of it. I read a stat. I didn't check it up, but I read a stat that said that having meals is mentioned 90 times in the Gospels alone. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I didn't look them all up, but I did look up the ones in Luke. And I can tell you that in Luke alone, there are 10 different stories where Jesus' ministry was over the dinner table or linked with food. In just one gospel. You see, people need to eat. And when they eat, they relax, they talk, they share. That is an incredible place to have a conversation with people. It's an incredible place to share your story, your life. So what's your background? Where did you come from? Where have you lived? Where have you worked? Great, let me tell you about it. Jesus is woven into all of our stories. This is hospitality. Hospitality doesn't matter just because God told us to do it. Hospitality matters because it is an incredible way to build conversation, to build relationship, open the door to talk about Jesus. That's why God tells us in the Bible to pursue hospitality. And I'm going to take it one step further, just in this thing of like practically how we can do that. How can we train ourselves? Hospitality is something that we do with reaching out, bringing people into our space. You can practice that even here within church. What does it look like? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't look like. An attempt to use an Afrikaans word here, because there's no English word like it. So don't laugh at me. What is it not, okay? It's not geiring with your friends. Is that all right? Did I get that right? Was that okay? It's not saying, okay, I like those guys. We connect well with them. Let's invite them over for a braai. That's not really practicing biblical hospitality. It might be hospitality in the terms of you're providing a meal. It's not biblical hospitality. You see, the Greek word for hospitality in the Bible is philoxenia or philoxenia. Philos means love. Xenos means stranger. In other words, biblical hospitality means showing love to strangers. If you host your friends, that's something else. That can be koinonia, fellowship. And that's a beautiful thing. And I'm not taking away from that. You can have koinonia. We should be growing that thing. Have your friends over for a meal. But recognize what it is. God hasn't called you just to do that. Yes, he's called you to do it, but not just that. He's called you to philoxenia, love of strangers. Is there anyone in church here that's kind of like a stranger to you? Is there anyone here that you don't know so well? I guarantee you there are. I certainly don't know, some of you I don't know all that well. Renee and I haven't had all of you in our home or been in your homes. There's people here who, you know, we've never done a meal together. Some of you here, you're probably quite new. You haven't been in anyone's home yet. So how about we start there? How about we start step one by showing hospitality to each other? Not the ones you know, the ones amongst us you don't know so well. Let's try and stretch that muscle. And when you do, be intentional about how you have your conversations, because this is an opportunity for you to start to learn to share your stories. Share your testimonies. What's your life story? How is Jesus woven through it? It's how you start to show conversational evangelism. So I've got a challenge for you. And it's not just from me. This is from the elders. We've talked about this. So this is a challenge from us to you. In the month of March, this is the first today, in the month of March, we have two things for you to do. Two things. Step one, our challenge is that you have someone from the church who you've not connected with before in your home, or you go visit their home. Make sense? Someone you've not connected with before. Connect with them. Your place, their place. Step two, connect with someone outside of church for a meal, for a coffee. Could be a friend, neighbor, coworker, whatever it is. Connect with someone outside of church. Does that make sense? Step one, connect with someone you've not connected with before in church. Step two, connect with someone outside of church. And that's going to make it easy for you. Because we don't want to put a heavy on you. We'll try and make it easy. It doesn't have to be a meal. If that's just too much to get your head around, invite someone over for carrot cake and coffee. or whatever it is. That's half a meal. Share a slab of chocolate. Have some cook sisters. There we are. So what I'm saying is make it easy. Make it easy. Don't set the bar too high. Just have people in your home to create a space where you can have a conversation. And you can invite yourself to someone else's home as well. I'm serious, you can. And it goes like this, especially, you know, inside the church here. We all love each other. You can say something like, listen, my house is a little unsuitable for visitors because my parakeet screams at people. Any chance that I can bring carrot cake to your place, we can share it together. Invite yourself to somebody. If you're a visitor here this morning or you're new to the church, my challenge to you is going to be slightly different. So what I'm saying, this is for the church family, the challenge. Now, if you want to take up this challenge as someone who's fairly new, that's great. That's awesome. I love that. But I would say for you, the real thing I'd like to ask is when you're invited, just say yes. When you're invited, say yes. Let's try and practice phylloxenia amongst us. And then let's try and extend it outside. Make a point of sharing testimonies of God's goodness in your life. See, conversations with grace about your life, your story, they will open doors to talk about Jesus. Is evangelism so scary now? Does it feel like something you can do? It's a bit more accessible. You don't have to stand on a street corner with a megaphone. If that's what God's called you to, that's a separate conversation. But God is calling us all to practice hospitality and share the love of Jesus and what he's done in your life with people. So if you as a church family are ready to take up this challenge, if you're willing to be in the 17, can I ask that you stand with me?